April 7th, 2011, members present, all members of the Finance Committee present. We have, it's our intent to dispense with House Bill 206, the, we have two ABC bills, the, that is now before us, House Bill 206. Representative Faircloth had a proposed amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman. Is the bill before us, or do we need to move it, or can I just move that amendment?
The bill's already before us.
Thank you, sir. I move a conceptual amendment on line 5 to delete 2015 and enter 2012.
Is there any objection?
Object just for discussion.
Dave, please discuss.
I'd just like to know why the date changed, please.
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Mr. Chairman, just to be consistent with what we had found on other audit findings for another board, it's my belief that we would like to encourage the new board with under the leadership of the current new executive director to make sure that these come into compliance, a one-year extension, and come back to this right away next year and give them their full extension once they're in compliance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I remove my objection.
That the amendment is adopted. We have the fiscal audit. I believe we had already discussed the fiscal note in the previous meeting. It's a self, let me see. The fiscal note would change, I believe, because we wouldn't be funding that by the fiscal note to reflect that we're not funding the out years through this one-year extension. We have discussion on the fiscal note. No, well, it's staff is directed to change our fiscal note to reflect it's a one-year extension, unless there's any objections to that. Representative Faircloth.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move from committee House Bill 206, amended finance, with attached amended fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Hearing no objection, it's moved out, and it's not because we like talking about alcohol bills every year, but there are issues that we'd like to revisit, including one that we may revisit this year, depending on 125, and we'll see what the committee interest is on that, but now it's at the very minimum, we'll have this, the whole ABC issue, and respect the very consistent policy of the Labor and Commerce Chairman about passing clean sunset bills, even though there's a temptation to have a pair of some other issues. I think that's been a good policy, and I've done my best to respect that as well, and I think it's a good way to do things, including the omnibus bills package that the Budget and Audit Chairman passed. So thank you for your patience, and I'm sorry we called you up on such short notice. I frankly forgot to.
Thank you. Apologize for you waiting. Thanks.
Bye. That will just take a brief at ease. Back in at 2:15 after the brief recess. And welcome back, Commissioner Hanley and Post-Secondary Education Director Behrens. Discussing House Bill 104. I had to leave abruptly at the end, and if we cut you off, we wanted to give you a chance to make any supportive comments and advocating the bill and your efforts to convince the 11 people here, 6 of the 11.
Thank you, Chair Stolz. I do recognize the challenges that we do have across our state, that it will be more of a challenge for some of our rural areas than it is in our urban areas. The one thing I do really appreciate about this bill is we're having conversations now that are on the table we haven't had in a long time. 2 years ago, we were offering a set of curriculum to our students in rural Alaska. It's less than what we're looking to offer in the near future, what we're offering now and what we're offering in the years ahead. So I appreciate the fact that we've got this challenge before us, and I'm convinced that as we continue to move forward, we're going to be miles ahead as we continue to push ourselves to provide more opportunities for our kids than we would be if we just stick with status quo. So I'm excited that this conversation is here. I appreciate the challenges that it presents.
It's going to be our effort to get some measure out that reaches the consensus and the goals that the administration has. We'll push forward on that. And any Representative Vieira, and then Wilson.
Commissioner, just so I can try and talk to other members about what's acceptable that might be more acceptable to you. And though in the end, we can do something that you say no to. But just the history, last year the commissioner was supportive of doing an alternative approach for those people who couldn't get the courses in their schools or maybe got a GED, and then now we're at the spot where you said you were before. Let me just ask you, so that I don't do violence to an alternative approach. I mean, I like this whole mix of some needs-based financial aid, some merit-based financial aid. But for those students who can't get the courses because they're not going to be available in their schools, or who get their GED, or maybe homeschool and therefore don't take those same courses, what are the kinds of things that if folks didn't take those same courses might comfort you? Some sort of level of standardized testing score, some sort of maybe post-graduation attendance at relevant courses, or maybe there's some equivalent to taking those courses. And so I want to give you as much discretion as possible to make the scholarship available to these folks, but is there some equivalent to the courses that might be acceptable?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra. If we're not offering the courses across the state, then I haven't really adequately met the challenge that I've set is before me and before our districts. The conversations that I've had with our superintendents, I'm convinced, although we may not be there right now, that we can be there. We do have a two-year transition period, and I am confident that our schools at this point for this year can offer it. It is the graduation requirement is, among other things, it's 2 years of math and 2 years of science. So to qualify for the performance scholarship this year, it's just 5 total credits. So it's 1 above that. Next year it's 7 as it steps up towards this. So I'm continually, we have a grace period in place for these 2 years for students who don't have that opportunity. I will advocate for a continued grace period. If for some reason that's not in place and we are not offering our kids the opportunity, then we need to look at ourselves. I need to look at myself and our department and say, how can we offer this due to no fault of their own? We're not giving them what they need to access the scholarship. So I'm more than willing to look at that. The equalizer that I see, the one standard that I see, when you're discussing the hardship issues, are we're preparing kids to be ready for post-secondary education. I think one of the things that will measure that is the ACT and SAT scores. And the work keys is the test more directed towards career and technical education. So scores on those that are recognized nationally as students have these proficiencies and are prepared for college. I think with those in place, if there are some other things that we needed to recognize as hardships, but students still did meet those and said, yes, I'm ready. Because of circumstances beyond my control, I don't have X, Y, or Z. I would be open to that. My concern is being prepared for post-secondary education.
Through the chair, one more and I'm done. I appreciate that. I'm going to try and talk to other members of the committee and see if we can meet that. But what I'm hearing from you and what I'm hearing from school districts and what I heard from Representative Thomas are different, which is, I mean, you feel that all the schools that don't offer these courses are just right on the verge of offering them, and I haven't heard that, and you can't take blood from a stone. So at some point, maybe you will force the rural school districts to add curriculum, but they're going to have to take away something. So I don't exactly know how that works.
Well, you know the challenges.
I do, and through the chair, Representative Vieira, I appreciate that challenge. And we did send out a memo to the chairs anyway. There's a difference of information that's out there, and I recognize that. I don't know where it's from. I have no intention of having propaganda. I, you know, But what we sent out is what we have and what we got directly from superintendents. If that needs to be clarified, it surely can. I'm not willing to, and I recognize that even some of these yeses on this chart that says, yes, we can provide these opportunities, they're not capital yeses, they're small yeses, they're still going to be challenges for these districts. I'm willing to work and see how far we can go. And if I didn't think we could do it, I'd really be concerned. So I have to look to the idea that, yes, we can get there. We've got distance education courses being synchronous and asynchronous, being developed through contract right now, 16 courses being offered. Broadband is an issue across the state. I understand that, but those are the things we need to address. So there is a difference of information that's out there. I'm continuing to look forward to having that opportunity for all of our kids.
Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't expect answers today. I just want to put them out there. I'm going to kind of follow along a little bit with Representative Garrett and some of the people that I've heard from, but if you could have some specific data, not just necessarily a survey, of how many years of math reading, what it would take to do that each school district has, that would be helpful to me. In that way, if I hear from a superintendent of such and such, I've got something in my hand to say, well, it's my understanding you have these items already there. So if that would be a list that you'd be able to get to us, that would be wonderful. And not just on that part, but on the folk ed education, how that would all fit into it. And the other part is the counseling that now has been added into the bill that came from the education. How would the university, what would that do to the university if we're requiring more counseling than maybe they give right now? And I would just be interested in how they would see that happening. A lot of schools already do that. I know when I went to school, you had to see the counselor several different times. But I would be really interested whether that was a one-time that they're looking at or following the student every month, because that would help me decide whether or not how this bill fits for me, because I do think that's a piece that's missing, that we drop them in and we have no support. So if you could get something from the universities on how they would see that piece fit into this bill, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. And through the chair, I have had conversations with President Gamble at the university system in that regard. And the survey we have, I will get this one to you. It does have the questions of 4 units of math, language, foreign language, and all of that. If you need more after that, I'd be glad to get that to you. But we do have this
lot
of information. Thank you.
Representative Thomas, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you. I was trying to remember my grade point average, and I think it was a 2.5 to 2.75. And I look at who's been more successful, the geniuses who become drug addicts or people who fell off the end of the world, you know what I mean, in a different path. And so I was trying to hint to Representative Gare that I think I was 2.5 or 2.75. But either way, you know, I had to maintain a C average to play sports. So that was like the carrot out there. So I'm just still not sold on this whole thing, and it probably won't be, but I was wondering if our students have been doing so great in the past, why is it that the university says they still have to take 2 years or 2 courses of remedial math if we've been putting out such great, smart students? This is where I'm confused. How are these kids who are now going to go to university, if they take remedial math and English, they shouldn't get the scholarship, is what I'm saying, I guess. Either they're so smart that they go to the university, they're running. So I guess, I don't know how you put that in here, maybe it's just a hint to say, hey, this is truly sending. And then I have one more, and it's the graduation rate in Alaska. I noticed that you're able to say yes or no to all the people to achieve the grades of schools, classes. Can you tell me, by school district, the graduation rates? You know, we keep hearing 60. The last time the school districts are here, they said they had 67%. If I had a 67% average in high school, I'd have been below that 2.5. If I was in the old school, I think it was 75 was an F, 74. You know, so the grading, when I got out of school and they started grading on the curve, everything started going downhill. So in my days, the math was 70, I think it was a 95, and 96 was an A, and 90, so I don't get it at 62% or 67 is success, I guess, from the old school days of mine. So So anyway, just comments.
Can you get us the school district list?
Yes, I can. I don't have that with me, but I can show
you. You can. I didn't expect it today. If you can just drop it off, you know, if the rest of the community wants it, maybe you can share it with them. But I just want to see.
You guys in Haines were faster swimmers. We got to get the guys in the wrestling team. We had to make sure they got those four Bs. That's a different era. Representative Guerra.
Record of speaking a second time when I said I wouldn't. just to defend the university and the school system a little bit, and I've been harsh too, but I went to a mid-level university, but they had a separate college. went to Boston University, you know, it was the school you went to when you couldn't get into the school you wanted to get into. So, they lost by 30 points in the first round of the NCAA.
You're learning.
They hung in the first round.
I think the sportscasters refer to them as Boston Unitarian.
But just to defend the university a little bit and the school system a little bit, and I haven't done this, Boston University had something called the College of Basic Studies, and that was a separate college for students who came out of high school just really not ready for the core curriculum courses. And so it's not something that's just an Alaska thing. It happens elsewhere, too, in other states, in school systems in other states. That was a big part of Boston University, was the College of Basic Studies, where people came in because they weren't ready and got up to snuff. It's not just like it's not just an Alaska thing.
Why was it called the draft?
We may have played out here, unless anybody else has. Representative Wilson.
And I couldn't find this earlier, and I'm sorry. If the students are not successful and do not get a degree, does this become a loan? If I get a scholarship and, say, after my sophomore year I decide that this isn't for me, do they have to repay the state?
Diane Behrens, for the record, Executive Director of Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. Through the Chair, Representative Wilson, it does not become a loan. It's a scholarship.
Thank you.
And if I could just,
Ms. Behrens,
Chair, one of the things that I think is going to be a critical component of this program having the kind of transformational effect that is its objective is that the data that we are obliged to report as to the impacts of the program will create a lens that you as policymakers for the state will be able to use in looking at where there are successes and where there are struggles for students to both access the scholarship and then how well are the scholarship recipients performing. Did it make a difference to them? And if, in fact, you have greater graduation rates out of high school, greater continuation rates into post-secondary education, and as important, completion rates, you will be able to see the return on your investment as we follow these individuals into the workplace. So I think one of the things that the two task forces that the bill established last year, one of the things that at least my advice to them was to urge them to let the program work for a couple of years before we start to try to fix what we think could be wrong with it. I think it's very important to have a stable program that isn't changing from year to year, because this is brand new, and we're finding that it's very important for us to get good information out to students and families and not to have the picture shifting on them on a regular basis. So I would encourage you to look forward to the reporting that we'll be providing to you and use that to inform modifications to the program going forward.
Ms. Bales from the Department of Revenue is online. Do you want her to try to help out a little bit? She was pretty helpful. No, I say no, okay. With that, we'll set this bill aside and we'll continue to work on trying to achieve our goals, whatever they are. Our intent is to be back tomorrow morning to take up House Bill 118, hopefully with the Department of Revenue having or Department of Commerce, having visited some of the concerns raised in the committee, which they appear to be attentive to, and would be, we can address those in a CS, and we'll see if we can get to a result that people are comfortable with. That's, yeah, we can do it. We can do it at 9. Either it's going to be there's going to be a solution or not. So we'll adjourn until 9 a.m. and it's our intent to take up the House Bill 160 in the afternoon tomorrow. Hopefully that's another vehicle to resolve another lingering issue in this legislature. With that, we're adjourned until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.